Good morning, everyone. Welcome to this edition of the Grace Hour Show, our Christian program that takes a dive into our daily challenges, helps us to learn about our faith in a practical way. I am joined once again by Jesse Fires over here in red. He's ready for Christmas.
How do I look? Yes.
Yes.
Christmas, I got my mug too, the match.
We gotta get the white going in the beard just a little bit.
All right.
What do you think? No? Kris Kringle? No, nothing. Forget it. Okay.
Ooh, Kris Kringle.
One day. Okay. Hey, today we're going to be... What's that?
I don't have wisdom yet, apparently.
It's probably speckled in there somewhere. It's okay. Don't worry. It's hiding. The wisdom's there. It's waiting to come out. I asked my wife to look the other day. She's like... Yeah, you do have some gray hair. I was like, yes. Oh. She's like, why are you celebrating? I've never seen anyone celebrate about gray hair. It's like, because the Bible says that I'm getting wiser.
I can't believe you asked her to look.
I have like one or two random hairs in my beard. And so she was just, I forget what she was doing, but she's like, oh, that's not the only place you have it. I'm like,
yeah.
I'm like, are you serious? But like, I was happy.
Yeah. Some people be, yeah.
Yeah.
Petrified. They're going to get the, whatever the dye to, but you're like,
no, I'm like, bring it on. It says the young man has its strength, but the old man has the hoary head. And I think the strength is waning and the hoary head is strengthening. Yeah. I don't know. Okay. Totally beyond the point. Has nothing to do with our show today.
You can relate.
Just trying to get my face as red as Jesse's shirt as we talk here. Hey, we're having a week where we're talking about investing in the currency of heaven. And our particular topic today is investing in people. Pastor Justin and Pastor Barry were on Monday speaking about, like, actually talking about what some different currencies of heaven could be. Mm. Yesterday's episode was about the currency of faith. And today I don't want you to think of people as a currency or as a commodity or as something that should be bought and sold and traded. It's like, that's not what we're talking about when we say the currency of people. Mm-hmm. Really, really what we're talking about is like investing in people, mm-hmm. investing in them, serving them. And to kick off the thought, we have Philippians chapter 2. I'm going to read from verse 1. If you're listening right now, if you want to read along, really focus in on verses 3 and 4. But here's Paul writing from Roman, like he's not necessarily in a jail. He's basically in house arrest, but he's writing back to the people who sent a gift to him through Epaphroditus. And this is what he says to them early on in the letter. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill you my joy, that you be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. And I think when we read these verses, Jesse, you can tell me what you think in a second, but what I get out of this is that the person in front of me is far more important than myself. Yeah. The person I'm speaking to, a lot of times we have, I call it a main character syndrome. I don't think I call it that. I think it's like a well-known phrase or topic, but we kind of go through life with main character syndrome, like, everything revolves around us. Everything that's happening throughout the world, throughout the universe is because of something we're doing or we did, or it's affecting us in some way. And like, I was thinking about this, this morning, like if your tire pops on the side of the road, the amount people care is the amount that you bug them during that incident taking place. So if you're on the road and your tire pops, you're swerving and you're trying to get over to the right, and people are probably pretty upset at you in that moment, as if you had any control over that happening. But as you're finally get over to the side of the road, you really start to realize, oh, nobody does care about my life or about my problems. Cause here I am trying to figure out how to change a tire with tools that don't work and, YouTube videos that aren't getting me the stuff that I need to understand. And no one stops. Everyone just keeps going. Everyone keeps going. But as Christians, we have, a call really I'm not saying that particular situation, but we have a call to look to people and their needs and what's going on in their lives and take interest in that.
Mm, yeah.
What are your thoughts?
Well, to relate to that incident, it was funny.
Tell me you popped it. No, I didn't.
Me and my work buddy, like, he got in a car accident. I had to pick him up. And so I picked him up. It was a whole idea, and he was kind of like frustrated about it. And so we're coming back because we had to drop it off at in Washington, D.C. So traffic, yeah.
Oh, man.
So we're going back, and literally, like, we see this car pulled over to the side, and I'm like, you know, let's go help them, you know? Because he's so frustrated about his own car.
Yeah.
And in my mind, I don't know why the Lord was leading me to that. So we pulled over to the side to go try to help this. It was a young girl out, and, you know, we come up, and then she had her AirPods in, and just kind of scared her, and then but she had it under control apparently. But I was just going, you know, to help her, and it was funny because actually we ended up seeing so many more cars along, and you probably see many along the side. But
695 and 95, there's always someone stopped on the side, something's happening. Yeah.
But it's cool. Like, I like that. Like, just thinking of people as just why should we care so much about them? Why aren't we like the main character only? Mm-hmm. The world doesn't evolve only around us. Because we see this just relationships being a really eternal value or eternal wealth in a way, because that's what Christ came for, right?
Yeah.
Like, he died. What did he die for? Not, you know, the things of the world or anything, but his possession, the people created in his image, this is who he died for.
Yes.
So people are very valuable.
Extremely.
In his sight. Mm-hmm. From the little children, as he was like saying, don't bid them not to come to me, bring them to me, to the sinner, the people who maybe don't deserve it in the world's or society's eyes, to the people who think they're very high up, in the Pharisees, like he wept over Jerusalem. Mm. So he cares so much about people. And that is the importance of heaven and the relationships that we're going to have in heaven. And ultimately, of course, it's with Christ. But we do see that in Matthew 6:20, you know, don't lay your treasures up in heaven where moth doesn't corrupt, where thieves don't break in and steal, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also.
Nice.
And Jesus Christ's heart was with the Father, and it was for people.
Mm-hmm.
And he had a heart for people, and he died for people. So people matter. People matter,
people
apparently.
People matter, and not just ourselves.
Yeah.
Like, other people matter.
And that's what Philippians 2, right?
Yeah.
Esteem other, in verse 3, esteem others better than yourselves or themselves.
Like, take that main character energy you might walk around life with sometimes and put it on the other person. Mm. Like, how can I make them the main character?
The focal point,
How can I help them get elevated in their position, in their thinking? Not puffed up, not prideful, but how can I encourage them to the point where they, like, feel like they're on cloud nine, in a sense?
Yeah.
You know, they feel like, wow, like the universe is treating me correctly. Like, the universe is paying, like, not that.
Yeah, of course.
But just really getting them to a place of joy and satisfaction.
Mm.
I think of Jesus as like our best example, obviously. Jesus is our best example of investing in others. He had 12 disciples around. He had a lot more than 12. There are 12 named. He had upwards of sometimes 30, 50, 70. In John chapter 6, it talks about a whole bunch of disciples leaving him when he says the hard thing, but the 12 remain. And not to mention the women who are not normally named, like, they were following him around a lot. But I think of what he taught the disciples, and this is very much how he viewed his ministry and how he wanted his disciples to operate in ministry. Here's a couple verses on it. Mark chapter 10, starting in verse 42. Mark 10, verse 42. But Jesus called them to him and said unto them, you know that they which are accounted to rule over the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and their great ones exercise authority upon them. Like, think about the way the world works. Think about the way your job works. Think about the way that just processes take place and things get handed down the line and the instructions you're given and the duties you need to perform. This is just like so our government, the way that the powers are separated and flow and funneled through the checks and balances. This is so normal, right? But then Jesus says, but so shall it not be among you. But whosoever will be great among you shall be your minister, servant, minister, doula. That might be the word doulos. I'm not positive there. And whosoever of you will be the chiefest shall be servant of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. His entire outlook on his life and his disciples' lives after him was to go and serve other people. That's the key, I think, in one sense. Go and serve another person. The whole main character thing.
Yeah.
Like, go and serve them. Make them the main character for a day.
Yeah. And like this, I don't know if it's in, do you know where this is referenced also in another scripture? Oh, it says it there maybe. Maybe it's Matthew 20.
Matthew 26 or Matthew 16, like talking about losing your life.
No, it's this whole thing. It's just like the lordship, like the Pharisees, they exercise.
Oh, okay.
Is that the same?
Not positive. No. What's the reference?
Is just like he goes into more detail about it. I don't know if it's the same exact one. Maybe it's a different scenario.
Mm-hmm.
But I love it because Jesus was saying just like how it's going to be opposite in heaven. Like, there's people here who want to be at the table, who want to exercise lordship and be served unto. But Jesus is like, I'm with you who is serving. Like, I'm the one who is serving with you because it's going to flip in heaven.
Yeah.
Because we're going to be at the table in heaven.
Yeah.
You know, like we're serving here. Maybe we have a tough life and we feel like we're just a servant. We never get to, you know,
yeah.
We don't have that feast and we don't get served upon. But it's like, don't worry about these treasures in these treasures down here on earth, or
yeah.
being served unto, or being Lord here. Like, you're going to be great in heaven. You're going to be at the table, and you're going to be served unto. So I like how it like flips.
Yeah,
you know?
It kind of goes back to what we talked about a few weeks ago with the rich man and Lazarus, and how their positions just flipped.
Yeah, exactly.
Lazarus suffered all his life, and the rich man had anything he wanted, whatever he wanted, and he wouldn't even like pay Lazarus the time of day when he would walk by him.
Yeah.
Was it say he desired the crumbs off them, yes. off of his table?
Yeah.
And then, you know, the script flips whenever they both die and Lazarus is carried away by angels and says the rich man was just buried.
Yeah.
You know, it's crazy how it flips like that.
Yeah.
But there's also a parable that might be Matthew 14, possibly the parable of the banquet, like the wedding feast.
Mm.
At the end of it, it says the first shall be last and the last shall be first.
Yeah.
And what does Christ say to his disciples? If you want to be first, if you want to be greatest, like be last.
Yeah.
Like be the servant, be the one, like Jesus's example in John chapter 13, be the one who gets down on his hands and knees, does the dirtiest thing that needs to be done before dinner and wash your disciples' feet. Because there's an eternal investment taking place in this moment. He says it to them, what I do now, you do not understand.
Yes.
But you will.
Yeah.
But you will understand. And I really think what he means when we hear this, we think the same thing. Like, what's he talking about? Like, what are we going to understand? I think he means that when we start to serve, we start to understand.
Mm.
When we like humble ourselves, come off our high horses, take away that main character hat and put it down.
Mm.
And we just get in front of another person to help them, then we start to see, oh, what Christ was doing was really important.
Yeah. And then, like, that's how he's able to say to Peter later on, like, you know, there's going to be someone to gird you, you know, one day.
Yeah.
You know? And so it's really Christ working through us, and we're putting our self away, and that's a huge thing. But, you know, we could... Back to this like relationship as eternal wealth, I want to hit on this one point. Paul talks about it, about people as his joy and crown.
Nice.
Joy and crown. I thought that was like so interesting.
Wow.
That he valued people just like that, you know. So like question is to you, like what if we had this mindset that people, not possessions or not myself, people if we had this mindset that those were our crown and our joy, like, how does that change our relationship with people? How does that maybe change my relationship with even a family member?
Yeah.
And right. People are tough.
Yeah.
And so if we have this mindset that Paul's like, there's something about people that's so precious and it brings me joy, you know, and I want to impart that to people and just build up people. Like if we had that mindset for everybody, like how would that change our relationships?
Like, sorry, I'm a little like I'm thinking about it. It's like it's so much.
Yeah.
So much.
Yeah.
To look at the person in front of you and say, like, you're the helper of my joy. That changes everything. Or let's reverse it again. Let's not be the I can be the helper of your joy. That changes everything. If it's about I like the example you use with your friend and trying to help someone else out because he was having such a rough time with his situation. The only way to get him out of that mindset was to go help another individual who's in need. Because otherwise, all he's going to be thinking about is how terrible of a situation this is. How am I going to go get my car later? How much am I going to have to pay to get it fixed? Like, who's going to get me there? Like, what's going to happen? How long is this going to take? Am I going to need to get a ride the next couple of days? You start playing all this and you're just so lost in your own life for a minute. But the moment you step out of that, you step out of the car, you see this person on the side of the road who might need help, that your outlook changes completely.
Mm. Yeah.
So what is that verse reference for the joy and the crown? Do you have that by chance?
1
Thessalonians chapter 2.
19. For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing?
Wow.
Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? For you are our glory and our joy.
Wow. That's awesome. And that's like, if you think about this, like Paul writing, he's writing this to a church that he was over for a time. He's writing this to a church that he traveled to and then came back to again and then came back to again, like on his multiple journeys through the book of Acts. Like this is really powerful to think about, that the pastor or the church planner is this is the way that he's viewing the people in his church.
Wow.
Like that's how important they are.
Yeah.
Like they're the reason why he does what he does.
Yeah.
If you're the reason that you do what you do, you should probably check your motives.
Yeah.
You should probably wonder, like, is this strife and vainglory and selfish ambition? Is that that's how Philippians 2 was worded,
yes.
Right? Right. Man, that's so interesting.
Yeah. And that's good. And that's, you know, check ourselves and like, and be careful with that. Like, don't get so, introspective where it's just me and I'm like, oh wow. Like, and I'm judging myself and I'm beating myself up, but it's the word of God that is able to do that. Right. Like let the word of God do that. And you do it by reading scripture and obtaining this, like you see Paul's life and now he's calling people his, you know, crown and joy and his hope. Mm-hmm. Like, wow. Like why, how did Paul have this, you know? Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, like that's an amazing. And I think about like, you know, in Richmond, it's just like so funny, like how, like who God has brought into our, you know, little church.
Yeah.
And it's just like in my mind I could step away and I'd be like, wow, I would never if I was in my flesh and in my own life, I would never hang out with these people, you know, or I would never you know, we had no hobbies or different things that we, you know, make us.
You guys live 3 hours away from each other.
Yeah. We live so far away from each other. We're from different upbringings, you know, so many differences about us, but it's the word of God that brings us together.
Nice.
And, regardless of differences, regardless if I can't even get along with them, like maybe in the flesh at first, right? Because we meet people we don't really know, you know, but you build this really eternal value, these bonds of love, I think it talks about in Colossians, bonds of love. You build these experiences and moments and you go into the word of God and you just fellowship and you see a different side of them. You see the spirit in them, you know? And so, yeah, people don't look great after the flesh, but yeah, continue to sow just life into people and sow the word of God into one another. And so, yeah.
Yeah, and when you're talking about like investing in another member of the body of Christ, there's a couple things in the epistles that we can think about and remember that help us, not so much like guidelines, but here's a really healthy one, like look after no man, I forget the wording, but like, don't look after the flesh of the person, mm-hmm. like purpose to see Christ in that person.
Yeah.
If you take some positional verses like Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6, where it says you are seated together with Christ yeah. in heavenly places, or you look at the hall of faith in Hebrews chapter 11 and you read about all the amazing things that those people have done. And these are like people not alive. These are just people that we are inspired by.
Yeah.
And then you get to Hebrews chapter 12 where it says, now, like after reading all that, now that you understand that you are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, like it enables you to be so much more free.
Yeah.
So imagine you being that witness for another brother or sister and freeing them up from whatever chains are holding them down in that moment. It says the sin that so easily entangles you, or the sin that easily besets you, right? How you can just cast it off, how you can look to Christ. Imagine you're the person going up to someone, getting them out of their funk and saying, Hey, Christ is in this.
Yeah.
Hey, Christ has something for you in this. Do you see him? And you're that cloud. You're one of the many cloud of witnesses who comes in to help them in that moment.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe we could segue into that. Just talk about the value of given time.
Sure.
Even forgiveness or other things. What is the value, to this? And so, because we talk about it. First we said that there's a heavenly value to it, to people and relationships. Now you get into the nitty gritty of relationships where it gets dirty. So, do you have something that you could help me with?
I don't know. Okay. Let me think about it. So what is the importance of these relationships? Where do they carry into? They carry into eternity.
No.
What does Jesus say to the thief on the cross when he puts his trust in him? He says, today you will be with me in paradise. Right? We're said to be seated together in heavenly places. We're said in Colossians chapter 3, verse 1, to be risen with Christ.
Yeah.
We're risen with him. How important are these relationships? How much of an effect does it have? How deep does it go? Well, did you know that the Proverbs say, this is really interesting. I was talking to a friend in here right before the episode and he brought out this point, basically, Proverbs 27:6 says, faithful are the wounds of a friend. How important are these relationships? They're so important that sometimes you got to say the hard thing to the person you're investing in or the people that you're around or the members of the body of Christ in order that it will benefit them for eternity. It might cause a temporary rift between you and the here and now, you saying the hard thing out of love, out of compassion, with empathy, but you still wound them in some way. Faithful are the wounds of the friend, of a friend. They're better than the kisses of deceit from the enemy. I'd much rather have a friend who tells me straight up how it is, where I'm off, why I'm being such a goofball, as opposed to someone who coaxes me into more and more of feeding off my selfishness and my pride. I would much rather have that person. But in the moment, in the moment, we're all kind of thrown off by that. But how important is it that we have people in our lives who can check us?
Yeah.
Who can say to us, hey, hold on a second. I think you're getting a little puffed up or a little ahead of yourself.
Yeah. And we need that. And we see in Saul and David, Saul didn't do, too well with David. He was getting jealous and whatnot.
Yeah.
So he wouldn't even hear from him. So he was just getting him out. And so he had he had this authority and this leadership and he abused it. And pride came in where now he wasn't receiving from anybody and really just in a bad state of mind. And we could get like that.
Yeah.
And that's what you're saying is just to have people around me who strengthen me, encourage me, but challenge me.
Yes.
And we got to do the open house at NBSA-ENS and I get to go to different high schools too as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I put myself in their shoes because, I'm 33. I'm half their age now, which is crazy.
Double their age.
That's what I meant.
That's right. That's
the
right.
The glass is half full.
It's something. Yeah, it's something. They're half your age. There we go.
Yeah. My English in communication is about their age. But anyways. what was I saying? But no, I really encourage and, but I challenge these kids. Mm, like,
yeah.
Cause I remember when I was in their shoes, I was like, I had like a mentor, a baseball coach who was really like always doing that for me. And sports does that. Sports helps you with discipline. Definitely, and that, yes. That is huge for a young man or a young woman. But, yeah. Outside of that, like in the classroom or at home, mm-hmm. and in my friend group circle, I need people to challenge me. And, I mentioned like iron sharpens iron. Like we use that a nice. Lot.
Yeah.
But we could have friends around us who maybe aren't iron or maybe I'm not iron.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and it, we're not going to sharpen one another.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I was talking to a brother recently. I was like, thank you for being iron.
Nice.
Thank you for like sharpening me.
Cool.
You know, and not just being a sponge or, you know, just yeah. nothing to me. Like yeah. sharpen me, challenge me, encourage me.
That's
and,
good. Yeah.
And Christ did that to the disciples
all
nonstop.
The time. All the time.
Everybody, the Pharisees, the woman at the well, he would always challenge with a question or something
yeah.
like that.
Yeah.
And it was very gentle, though, the way he did it, though. And
most well, of the time.
Besides sure. the Pharisees, most of the I time. Guess.
Yeah.
It depends, you know.
Well, I think he said like a couple times, oh, ye of little faith. Like, we have no idea how he said that.
That's true.
But he's speaking to his disciples in the middle of a storm on the boats, like, how long have I been with you, oh, you of little faith? And he just like, tells the storm to stop. Wow. And he's like, I'm going back to bed. Like, yeah. like he, sometimes you can get a little fed up, but I think that kind of like ferociousness is helpful to the other, like the disciples learn something in that moment.
Yeah.
Like, wow, he tells the storms when to cease.
Yeah.
Like he has that kind of power and he's the one teaching us. It's like, You follow harder after that. You're like, you're in deeper.
Yeah.
You've seen something that you're not going to see anywhere else.
Yeah.
And sometimes a timely correction comes in, like Nathan to David. Like sometimes that timely correction comes in and like no one else could have said it that way. But when Nathan said, David, you are the man, like, wow, David's world changed. He got back up from his sin with Bathsheba and he went on to lead his people. And he got right back into his walk with God in a sense, you know?
Yeah.
Wow. It can really change us.
Yeah.
Like a word in season. Sometimes a word in season, we always think of it as like an encouragement, but sometimes a word in season is a correction that bonks us right on the nose, makes our eyes water a little bit, and then we're like clear as day again.
Yeah. And like, but it shows like Christ doing that and being hard kind of with the disciples, you know, it's like, it shows what he loves them and he cares.
Absolutely.
Like if your child keeps on doing a certain thing, like you're going to end up, okay, you're getting to a point where it's just like, how long have you been in my household? You know, it's just a tie
yeah.
that story in, but like, you're going to get upset because you care, because you know, whatever they're doing or that thing can maybe lead them in danger or a lack of faith in
sure.
him. Is what Christ is saying. It's just like, really? Like, how long have I been with you?
Yeah.
You
know? Let me give you like a semi-real, semi-made up example.
I see the white hairs of wisdom
stop it,
growing.
Stop it. They're up here. You can't see them. Don't even try to look, but they're there. They're there. You know, you have a kid in your household who, this is true of all kids in any situation. They get excited and they start running, but they have your attention. So they're looking at you and they're not looking at where they're running. Okay. So the first time they do it, hey, so-and-so, like, hey, look where you're going. And you're kind of calm about it because you don't want to like upset them.
A soft answer turns away wrath.
It might turn away wrath, but we're not talking about wrath. We're talking about clear and present danger for the child who's like just missing the corner of a wall by the skin of his teeth, you know? And so the second time that child does it, you're like, listen,
yeah.
listen, do not like stop running. Mm. And then the third time, or what's going to happen? Boom. They're going to smack into the wall. So sometimes you say it a little more forcefully. And this is just like a picture. It's just an example, but stop, you know, yeah. you get their attention and they stop dead in their tracks. Sometimes we need that from our friends in the body of Christ.
Yeah. That's beautiful.
And that's a form of investment. Believe like that's a form of investment.
Yeah. I have three. Here's three.
Sure.
Verses that kind of deal with this. Ephesians 5:15-16 is pretty Ooh. Much says, redeem the time, make the yeah. most of every opportunity.
Yes.
And so, whether it's, you know, where we're talking about these different scenarios, like redeem it and ask God and allow God to like use you in that. Like, okay, Lord, it's a bad situation. It's a negative situation, or someone could get hurt, like, oh, all right, Lord, redeem this time, you know? Mm-hmm. And then we also have Colossians 3:13 talks about forgiveness.
Nice.
Like, we forgive as what the Lord has forgiven us. So we forgive others. So,
amen.
That's a beautiful verse. You know, if I struggle with forgiveness, if I struggle with these things, like, I could really lean back and think about what the Lord has done for me and as he forgives me, because forgiveness is tough and, you know, the flesh doesn't want to do it and we don't naturally do it.
Yeah.
So it's really like, okay, receiving that I have forgiveness first.
Yeah.
And that allows me to forgive others. And then the third one, and we're talking about encouragement, Hebrews 3:13, encourage one another daily or exhort one another daily is a short reference to that. So these simple acts
while
that we're talking about
today,
these simple acts, forgiving could be so simple.
Yeah.
Encouraging could be very simple, or even just redeeming a time in a simple matter.
Yeah.
These things could have eternal impact.
Absolutely.
Incredible.
Absolutely. You talk about redeeming the time. So I have a question for you related to that.
Okay.
Like, what are some real practical ways we can purpose to redeem the time with others? Like, how can we invest in other people and make a point to do it and not have it just be like random?
Mm. Yeah.
What do you think?
Not to be random. Well, yeah. I mean, at the top of my head.
Yeah.
I think first, like, scheduling wise, like, we are very busy body. Like, we work, we sleep, and there's like most of our day right there.
Yeah.
And then
16
you have
hours,
like,
usually. Yeah.
Yeah. And then you have a window of just like, okay, what can I, maybe I have a wife and kids at home. I have so much to do. So you have to be intentional.
Yeah.
With this, you know, making a phone call to a brother.
Yeah.
I do a lot of phone calls. I cannot be everywhere at once.
Yeah.
The Lord has given us, provided technology, which we talked about earlier, that it could be a great tool, and it is.
Yeah.
Use it for the good tool that it is.
Nice.
Because maybe that brother's on a phone and he's not using it as a good tool. Let me call him. And now I'm like,
all of a sudden your number pops up right in the middle of some mischief.
Oh,
it's like,
so bad. It's happened to me.
I need to answer that.
It's so good. I love that.
That's awesome.
I remember on my wedding day, and I mean, I wasn't doing anything bad, but I was just in my mind.
Yeah.
The devil was definitely throwing things in my head.
Absolutely. Yeah.
The day of my wedding, just before I'm getting married, and Pastor Schaller called me, and like, he knew I was getting married that day, but like, it was literally perfect timing.
Wow.
And like, it just like brought so much encouragement.
Nice.
And joy to me,
nice.
You know, because he means a lot to me. And for him to just see it, he's like, are you getting married today? You know, like, Pastor Schaller.
Yeah.
It was like a simple, like, I don't know what he said, but all I know is that he called. So call people, be intentional. And then, yeah, also, like we said, redeeming the times. I could be so, even at work, you know, I remember being a personal trainer. I was there for like 2.5 years. And then I was like, Lord, I don't feel like you want me here. And like, there's nothing, there's no fruit here.
Yeah.
Like, there's no encouragement here. And it's kind of leading me down the wrong path. So I prayed about it and go to prayer in it. And then like a week later, a woman came to me asking for prayer.
Wow.
About a specific thing. Another, like 2 days later, another person came for me to prayer about a certain, and I'm like, all right, Lord. You can be here.
He heard you and he answered.
Or maybe it's just me allowing him and me calling out to him. It's like, okay, you know. And so, bring God in every situation.
Wow.
And so,
those are great answers. Like, I'm thinking about prayer too as a possible answer. Like, we are so busy in our day. How about we have some like quiet investment in people by just praying for them. Just thinking about them through the day and lifting them up in prayer. Like, you got a wife and kids at home, you're just lifting them up throughout the day. You have friends that you know are going through something. You're just bringing them to the throne of God, saying, Lord, you know their situation. God, speak to them. God, heal them. God, help them. Like, you know, the little simple things like that.
Yeah.
The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man, James 5, maybe verse 6, like, avails much. It's powerful. So like, not all investment has to be like out in the open for the person to see. It can be like between you and God and a walk with him. So a follow-up question to that. And I loved your answer. Making phone calls, I feel like that's probably underutilized today. The text message is so prevalent. The quick chat on Microsoft Teams or I forget what they're called now, Slack or different workplace things. Like there's all sorts of different ways to communicate, but the phone call, hearing another person's voice or the FaceTime or like, you know, the big one, like going and seeing that person in person, like all big things. Here's a follow up. What are some common distractions that would keep us from like intentionally reaching out or investing in another person?
I think you talked about it a lot before. I would say majority is myself.
Yeah.
Right? Like,
okay,
I'm
you
know, focused on, I got to do this and do that. And, you know, I have to worry about, you know, my own life and my own family, et cetera.
Yeah.
That I lose the sight of others.
Yes.
And that's what, and Christ really put others in front of, you know.
Yes.
Esteem others higher than yourself.
Yes.
And how do we do that when, like, okay, like, I'm a man and I have a family, or, you know, it's me and my mom and I'm taking care of my mom at home. Mm-hmm. These maybe more these scenarios that cause maybe more of my time and my efforts.
Yeah.
How can I possibly really, you know, serve others? And so I don't know. That's a good question. I think the number one thing is myself, and I could just really forget people.
Sure. Yeah. Self-absorption is probably like everyone's unspoken character flaw.
Yeah.
You know, we all are self-absorbed in some way, shape, or form. Mm. I was thinking just simply like we lead such busy lives that we keep schedules and we put things on the schedule. Do we ever purpose to put another person on our schedule, like to intentionally reach out to send a text, make a phone call, send an email, whatever the case may be, to take time to pray.
A letter.
Write a letter. Like, hey, Paul wrote letters, man, and people were built up by that all the time.
Some people do still. I know. That's special.
It's the real deal. When you like, I got a thank you note today, and I was just like, wow, someone took the time. They wrote in cursive, and it was just like, I could read it. Wow.
Oh, my God. Ryan Green.
Yeah?
Shout out to him, Ryan Green.
Nice.
He would birthday cards. Awesome. He'd handcraft them, this guy.
Awesome.
He'd cut out little flowers and put it on there. And it's just like, and I still got them. I don't know where they are, but I still got them. I know that.
That's
they're
right.
Going to come out one day and like, yeah, but that's like, it's a, you could tell that they went the extra mile.
Yeah.
And Christ says, you know, if a brother says, you know, go 1 mile, go
I'll
another.
Go two. I'll go two.
I love the King
James. I got
James.
You.
I go Twain.
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 Mark Twain. No, Twain. I'm going 2 miles.
And that's amazing. That's the heart of Christ, right?
It
like
really
going
is.
Going the extra mile. Like he, yeah.
Wow. Great. Okay. One more. I think I got one more.
One more question. What? Question?
One more question.
Jeez.
You ready? You're doing great. You're crushing
man.
It.
Man.
I like putting you on the spot. I'm going to do this more often, Jesse. Here we go. All right. So what are some benefits? What are some benefits in our own life when we serve or invest in another person?
Well, we talked about it first. We're doing an eternal work. It's an eternal thing.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
You know, I think about Christ when he said, what does a man gain if he gain the whole world but lose his soul?
Yes.
You know, it's like we're bringing Christ into people's life and
it's
whatever way that is. But, We're being ministered and we're ministering unto. So, can you repeat the question again?
Yeah. What, like, what are, what's a benefit or what's the benefit of serving and investing in others?
Yeah. Again, it goes back to number two, what I said. We're always on ourselves. It takes our eyes off ourselves.
Yes.
I think that is huge.
Yeah.
And that's very refreshing to take my eye off myself, because I put my focus and like maybe my concern or value on other people. Mm. And that there's something about that that just brings me joy and relaxes me, because I'm not all uptight about myself and
my
own
gosh.
Things.
Yes.
So it really, it's a almost like a calming effect in a way. I remember me and my wife, we like served a few weddings this past year. And they were exhausting, like physically, but like after the fact, like I don't know why, it just felt like so good to do, and just like
life.
A mind, because we're it wasn't just for us, or we weren't even getting paid, we're volunteering, and it's just amazing when you could like step outside and just like, okay, I'm gonna put it on other people. So
nice.
The benefits are many, I believe, and I think the Lord blesses a cheerful giver.
Yeah, right?
Better to give than to receive.
Yes.
So many different things. So what did you have for your own question?
Oh, I didn't write down the answer. I just like, I'm going to put Jesse on the spot. I do have an idea. By the way, you and Kaylee make great co-hosts. I remember you guys emceeing co-hosts, co-MCs. You guys were awesome. You guys did great.
Who was that? That was Ryan.
Andrew and,
Andrew Sophia.
Sophia, yeah.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
Wait, was it also?
No, that was Ryan.
It was Ryan and Sammy too. Yeah. Oh my God. Okay, we're just throwing out names. Sorry about that. Don't worry about it.
At Andrew's, Kaylee was the server and I was the MC. And I was like,
I thought she was working on the mic too.
No, she was working hard with that food over okay. there. It was all raining, right. Remember?
Yeah. And I remember. Eating. I got soaked by the lady holding up an umbrella in front of me during every time she would move the umbrella, boom, I'd get a big dump of water on my pants. And I'm just like, I'm never dressing up for a wedding again. Forget this. Yeah.
But a great example of just two people who just like, you know, everything, maybe you could see it rained, it poured, it, you know. Oh, on my wedding day.
Yeah.
Like it was like beautiful. They weren't even phased. It was beautiful. Perfect. And it ministered to everybody.
Yes.
Who was there.
So. It was awesome. Yeah. Okay. One thought relating to like the benefits. And this is like just kind of a real world example. In the world of investing, there's this term or this idea called dollar cost averaging. Dollar cost averaging means that you set a set investment on a weekly, monthly, yearly basis into a particular stock or a particular exchange trade. I don't know, ETF, exchange traded fund, or an index fund or something like that. And the whole point is that you give the same amount towards it for a return later in your life, like a retirement account to pull out later, so you have income. But it doesn't matter whether that particular thing you're putting money into at the time is going up, making your money kind of less valuable as you put it in there, or if it's going down, making your money possibly get a greater return later because like the market historically has just always gained like over the course of time. So if you think about that and you go, you turn that into investing in a person, the benefit of consistently just putting time and effort and forethought and prayer and really the word that we're using over and over again, investing. The more you invest in that person, the greater your return will be later, because you've won a brother or you've won a sister. Yeah. You may have hurt them at one point. You may have said the hard thing, but in the long run, faithful are the wounds of a friend.
Yeah.
And whether you got them at a high point or a very low point, you were there for them and you were present, and they're not going to forget that. And it's a real benefit to you because you know that God uses you. Mm. Like 2 Corinthians chapter 1 talks about being comforted by God and then how God turns that around and uses the way that he comforted you to go and comfort another person.
Yeah.
That's 2 Corinthians 1 verses like 3-6. He's the God of all comfort, and he's constantly investing in you and I. And he's doing so not only for our benefit, but for the benefit of the people that we take that comfort to later.
Yeah.
And we build them up and we comfort them and we come alongside them and put our hands around their shoulders and we carry them through whatever they're going through.
Yeah. And that's great. And I think like, if you think about encouragement and encouragement and serving others, it's really a one-way thing. Like, we shouldn't expect it to, like, it's how I do this to get something back in
transactional
return.
Yeah.
And that can be very dangerous because I'll get burnt out and I'll be very disappointed because I'm not going to receive, maybe on this earth, and that's what we're talking about, maybe you don't receive these temporal things on this earth right away from your service or from your loving and giving. But like, in the parable of the talents in Matthew 25, you know, like, good and faithful servant, you are faithful in little, now you'll be faithful in much, you know. But he's talking about like when he comes to the, I think he taught it about the joy of the Lord, it says, the joy of the Lord when he comes to salvation with his maker.
Yeah.
But to close with my, like, this thing, because we're talking about service, we're talking about building people up, encouraging. It gets really tricky and really tough, though, mm-hmm. you know, because we don't get a return, because people are tough. And I wrote this thing because I'm a really believer that we need the cross in nice. Our life.
Yeah.
Like we need that cross in our lives when we're doing this.
Okay.
So I wrote this little paragraph down. Don't see people after the flesh, 2 Corinthians 5:16.
Nice.
And then I think about if God mark iniquities, who would stand? You know, mm-hmm. Psalm 130:3. Yeah. We will always have the flesh. The cross is vital in our life and relationships. It's one thing to deny the flesh by crucifying it. We deny the flesh. But if we don't allow the cross to deal with it, it is still alive and well, waiting to come forth. Mm. But we need the cross for relationships. The cross affected many relationships Jesus had spiritually and presently while he was on earth. The cross didn't allow Peter to keep him from going to his calling in Matthew 16, referring mm-hmm. to Jesus. The cross tore Jesus' mother's heart in Luke 2:35. Mm. The cross brought forth sorrow and unanswered questions. Think about 1 Corinthians 1:18, foolishness mm-hmm. is the cross.
Yeah.
And that was what brought to the disciples. The cross has a real life and messy side, but there's a different side of eternal value, restoration, redemption, resurrection life. So we have the cross for our flesh and for the flesh of others in Galatians 4:16.
Nice.
And I think that is vital because relationships can get hard and, you know, maybe we're not getting anything in return and maybe it's been X amount of years and I've been doing the same thing and nothing has been happening. But we have the cross for our relationship life because that's how Jesus laid down his life for others and people gain life through that.
You know, one thing I'm just thinking of as we wrap this up is the moment you see a person in heaven mm-hmm. that you invested in some way, shape, or form, it's all going to be worth it.
Yeah.
Even if like you're divided from them today, even if they're against you for some reason or you're against them for some reason, the moment you see each other in heaven, like none of that is going to matter at all. Yeah. It's just going to be so beautiful and so perfect. And it says in Revelation 21, when we have a new heaven and a new earth, there will be no more sorrow, no more tears. Like there's not no more fight. Like I forget exactly what it says, but the idea is like things are going to be so full of joy mm-hmm. and there's going to be so much peace and there's going to be just a whole lot of contentment all yeah. the time that whatever's happening here on earth, it will be worth it one day when you see that person in heaven.
Yeah. And no more serving.
No more serving. Well, we have no idea, but
well,
yeah,
we could serve the Lord. I guess that's going to be a great joy if
yeah.
we do.
Who knows? Who knows?
I know we know them.
We know that we're going to be with him. Yeah.
The angels will be served, right? They'll be under us.
Yes. Hebrews chapter 1 and 2, something like that. I don't know. I just know it's going to be perfect.
I'm going to be sitting that's at the table, Pastor Matt.
That's right. We're going to be having a big wedding feast. Are you guys coming? Make sure you're coming to the feast. Get to know Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Let him change your life. Let him, let him just come in and he's knocking at the door, Revelation 3:20, and he's asking if he can sup with you. Mm. Let him in and give him freedom to roam about your soul and change you little by little. All right. And don't forget to invest in others because that's what Christ does. He invests in us so we can invest in others. All right, Jesse, we did it.
We did it.
We did it. Thanks for joining us today. All you faithful listeners out there, don't forget to subscribe to the show
on
YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and more.
Like.
We're still talking about, hit that like button,
share.
Hit that subscribe button. We're talking about investing in wisdom tomorrow and investing in eternity on Friday to wrap everything up. So tune in. See you guys.
Amen.